Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Thou who art the Lord of all the earth and the whole universe, Thou who sittest upon the throne, working all things after the counsel of Thine own will, it is unto Thee that we bow. It is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we come to Thee. It's on the basis of His shed blood that we approach to Thee. It's in Thy righteousness that we are clothed and we praise Thy name, that You have given to us that cloak by which we are covered, that blood by which we are cleansed, that Thy Spirit by which we are made new. And all, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us, our Father, Thy Son, the One who has made it all possible by His death, burial, and resurrection. We bow before Thee, our triune God, today, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to praise Thee and to glorify Thee and to lift up our hearts to Thee in worship, because Thou art God and beside Thee there's none other. How blessed and how precious it is that Thou dost let worms come into Thy presence. And Thou dost look upon us as You look upon Christ. And Thou dost hear our cries. And Thou dost hear our voice. And Lord, we praise Thee for this. Lord, who is like unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders among the sons of men. There's none like Thee, none beside Thee. And we bow before Thee to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Our Father, our heart is heavy this morning. We desire that that word You have given us will go home in power and much assurance to our hearts, that Thou wilt awaken and Thou wilt lay bare hearts, and Thou wilt bring precious souls into the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Spirit of the living God, do the work which only Thou canst do. And we do pray that Thou wilt indeed give new hearts and new spirits today, and our hearts will rejoice in Thee. Cleanse us from sin, wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. Draw our hearts in from the world. Draw our hearts in from all of the hurts of sin, more of the disappointments, the afflictions, the trials. And may by faith our heart and mind be stayed upon Thee is our prayer. We do pray Thy hand will rest upon the sick in our midst at this time, that Thy hand will rest upon them for good. We do pray for the family of the bereaved. We do pray that Thy mercies and grace will rest upon them. Lord, You lead us and guide us, and have mercy upon us is our prayer in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. We want you to turn with us in your Bibles this morning to Ezekiel chapter 36. We'll be reading beginning at verse 24. The Lord speaking, and He said, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the field, of the increase of the field, that ye shall receive the more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. I don't know of another portion of Scripture that is more precious and more gracious than the one we've read. I don't know of a portion that is more needed in the day in which we live than this one that I've read this morning. That God in His sovereign grace and mercy gives new hearts to sinners. That's grace. And I praise God for it. I want you to notice, first of all, about our text, that all of this is unconditional grace. I said it's all unconditional grace. That God does this according to His own sovereign will and sovereign grace and mercy. And He does it because He delights to have mercy upon sinners. For this is the reason the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. Amen. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Over and over again, He continues to say the same thing. And verse 24, He says, I will take you from among the heathen. In verse 25, He says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. And that's His word. He said, I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. And as if that was not enough, He says, I will also give you a new heart. And I will give you a new spirit. I will put it within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And He says, I will give you an heart of flesh. He says again in verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. All of this is of grace. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And when I do that, ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And when God says, I will, you better be sure that and reckon that we shall. For it follows one another. He said, I will save you from all your uncleannesses. And one of the evidences of the work of grace in our hearts by the Spirit of God is found in verse 31 of Ezekiel 36. When God has done this for us, and we are made aware of it by the Spirit of God working in us, and our hearts are opened to our need of the cleansing blood and power of the Holy Spirit, and the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, then we shall remember our evil ways. We shall remember our doings that were not good. We shall loathe ourselves in our own sight for our iniquities and for our abominations. There is one thing that God does for us when He saves us and He opens our hearts and He gives us a new heart and a new spirit. He causes us to reflect upon our sins and upon our ways. And He causes us to hate ourselves. He causes us to loathe ourselves in our own sight. And He causes us to confess our sins. And He gives us a hatred for sins. And we loathe ourselves in our own sight for our own iniquities and for our abominations. Now, when we talk about God giving us a new heart and putting a right spirit within us, what are we talking about? Well, the word heart in Scripture is used in many, many ways. I want to give them to you briefly as our first point this morning. Because what he's talking about here is that the heart or the affections of man is the hub of the whole man's existence. When the scripture mentions the heart of man, he was talking about the mainspring of all of his thoughts and all of his words and all of his deeds. When the scripture talks about the heart, it stands for man's entire mental and moral activity, both in our rational being and in our emotional being. So you could sum up the whole thing by saying that when God says He is going to put a new heart within us, what He's going to do and what He does, are you listening? What He's going to do and what He does is this. He changes our affections. That's what He does. And that which our affections were set upon, which was sin and self and the world, now the affections are set upon God in His Christ. Amen. As the Holy Spirit works within us, and our affections are set upon holiness and the ways of righteousness. And truly, beloved, what God does for us when He saves us is that our affections now are no longer prostituted as they were before and going after sin and self and the world, but they have been made pure because God has given us new affections. And they go out after Him, and they cry out after Him, and they search out for Him, and they desire Him, because God has made them new. This is what is meant in the Scriptures by the word heart. It is our thoughts, our words, our deeds. It stands for our entire mental and moral authority, both in the rational part of our beings and in the emotional part of our beings. God gives us new affections. And so He says in Acts 15:9 that He purifies the heart by faith. And that's where all of this comes in this morning, is that He purifies our hearts by faith. Amen. And He gives us to understand what He's done for us. For the Word of God tells us that the seat of our grief, our heart, let not your heart be troubled. The seat of grief is in the emotion, is in the affections. The joy, your heart shall rejoice when you hear these things, John 16:22, is the very affection of the heart. The desires of the heart, as in Matthew 5:28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart, that desire. And the desire in the Word of God can either be evil or it can be good. Lust in the Word of God can either be evil or it can be good. In this connection, it is evil. Lusting after that which God has forbid, that is the affections. But there is that desire after God that is a holy thing and a good thing and a right thing. Amen. And we are to desire after Him. To show you that the affections is what He's talking about when our Lord revealed Himself to those men after they had settled in the house, after their walk on the road to Emmaus. And he revealed Himself unto them, and then He disappeared out of their midst. What did they say? They said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us as we talked with Him, or as He talked with us in the way? What does He mean by that, that our hearts burned within us? It meant that their affections were touched. And their hearts went out after him, and they desired him. I could go on and show in the Word of God that perception is used for the heart, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. The affections are blind to the glory of God and the preciousness of Christ. And therefore God has to give us and does give us a new heart. And the very thoughts, look at Hebrews 12:4-12. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" It stands for the understanding, the reasoning powers, the imagination, and even in the conscience. Now when they heard this, the sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their conscience. So whenever you read and look at that word heart in the Word of God, then you understand that He's talking about that which makes up the man, that which the man is. So God has to do something about it. For you see, according to Mark chapter 7, and in verses 20 through 23, now I think you can understand what he says there. He said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart, out of the very thoughts and intents of the man." What comes out of the heart? Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. But the one who said that we have such a heart, and the one who reveals unto us by His Spirit and causes us to acknowledge that we do have such a heart, amen, is the very same one who says that in grace and in love and in mercy, He would give us a new heart. Amen. And beloved, if salvation was not of the Lord, and we're all being hailed this morning, if salvation was not of the Lord, I'd be lost. I can't give myself a new heart. I can't turn my affections toward heavenly things and toward godly things. I have not the power to do this. The power is gone. And God has to do it. But praise His holy name, He said that He would do it. And He does it with no restraints, no obligations. Well, that's what grace is all about, isn't it? When you say grace and you've said all, that isn't, that is nothing of us enter into it, enters into it whatsoever. He that demands repentance gives it. He that demands faith gives it. He that demands a holy life says, "I will cause you to walk in my ways and in my statutes." That's the reason why he wants us to trust him and look to him and follow after him, because this is, as he said, that he will do. He wants us to trust him. I like what he says there in Jeremiah 31 and again in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10. He said, "I will write my law upon their heart, and I will put it in their understanding, in their affections." Let me read it to you out of Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 10. "I will put my laws into their mind." That's our understanding. "And I will write them upon their hearts." That's our affections. "And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Who does this? This is the grace of God, isn't it?
Of course it is.
And beloved, we're sitting here this morning by the grace of God, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness. Faith has looked away to Christ. And there's that assurance that Christ is mine and I am His. It is because God, in His sovereign grace and mercy, has given us a new heart. He has written upon our mind His laws. That's our understanding. He's opened it up. Beloved, do not despise the day that God writes His law upon your mind and puts it in your understanding. That's the beginning of wisdom. We're living in a day when conviction, Holy Spirit conviction, is denied. We're living in a day when precious souls who come under conviction, they say that they're only disturbed. But God has to do something, and He does it. He writes His law in our mind and in our heart. And He puts it there, and we cannot get away from it. And we carry with us the brand mark of the Lord Jesus throughout eternity, that God came and He wrote in our mind our understanding His law. And we, like Paul said in Romans 7, when the law came, sin revived and I died. So we die, don't we? God slays us. So He gives us a new heart, a new nature. He brings us low at His feet. Don't despise it. Don't despise it. He said, I'll do it. I'll give you a new heart. Now, why must God give us a new heart? I've told you some things. Let me tell you some more. Why the necessity for such a promise? Why the necessity for such an unconditional promise as we find here in Ezekiel 36? I ask the question, why such an unconditional promise? Is there a necessity for such a promise? Why, of course there is. Human nature is too far gone for God to do anything with us. He has to give something new. He has to put something within us. God doesn't remake. God gives new. That's what He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that those that are in Christ are new creations. God has made them such. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Human nature is too far gone for God to amend it, to do anything with it. All that the old nature can do is to be crushed and broken. And God gives us a new heart. I'll tell you why He does that. And that is because our hearts by nature are hard and stubborn. They're all hard and stubborn. They're rebellious against God. You let God cross our wills and we rebel against Him. Every time. You let God cross our wills and we rebel against Him. We have hard hearts, stubborn hearts, rebellious hearts. God has to give us a new heart. We have by nature a heart full of evil imaginations and darkness. We have a heart that He says there in Jeremiah 17:9 that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's the reason God's got to give us a new heart. He tells us in His Word in Acts 7:51 that it's an uncircumcised heart. In other words, it's never been cut open and laid bare. And when
when God cuts open and lays bare the heart, it's not a beautiful sight. And how long God shows us our hearts before He brings us peace in Christ, that's His business. I cannot dictate terms to God, but I do know that He showed me one day that I needed one. And He showed me one day that unless He gave it to me, I would never have it. That faith and grace was of the Lord. An uncircumcised heart. It had never been laid bare. And it's not beautiful to look into. It's a double heart. I often come back to this scripture in Ezekiel 33:31. Look at it in your Bibles with me, will you? I often come back to this verse of scripture and I cry to God, not let me have a heart like that. I had one. Look at Ezekiel 33:31. It's a double heart. He says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. They sit as the people of God, they listen as the people of God, but all the times their heart goeth after covetousness. Their mouth showeth much love, but their heart has never been broken. That's the reason God must give us a new heart.
Amen.
We would pretend until we went to hell. We would cover up till we went to hell. We would cover up our hearts until we went to hell, unless God came by His convicting power.
Amen.
And so worked in our hearts that we cannot and will not cannot get away from what He shows us, and we start seeking after Him. And that's the beautiful, most beautiful thing about this heart that He gives us. It is a seeking heart.
Amen.
It seeks after the Lord. And the heart of man is a heart that loves darkness rather than light because its deeds are evil. That's what He said. The Lord Jesus said it in John 3, He said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither will they come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. And if God has ever called us to the light, oh, beloved, if God has ever been pleased by His Spirit to open our hearts and our affections, to draw us to Christ, to draw us to Christ and to the light, that light might shine in our hearts. This is the grace of God. Don't run away from it or run against it. But ask God to open it up and let you see what you are and what the depths of it is, that you might be in Him. Now what? On what basis can God give a new heart? I ask you a question. When God comes to our hearts to deal with us in salvation, on what basis can He give this new heart? Something has already taken place. What was it? The Lord Jesus Christ came down and went to hell in my place, that the Spirit could give me a new heart.
Amen.
This new heart has been bought by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
This new heart has been bought by the passion and the suffering of the Son of God, as we looked at last Lord's Day morning.
Amen.
It's that heart that God gives that has been bought with the price of the precious blood of Christ. You see, this is a precious thing that God gives to us. It cost Him everything that He had.
just as the dear mother goes down in the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into the world, so our Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven's heights to earth's depths and went to the place of death and the empty tomb that he might come forth and might be able to give new hearts to dead sinners and raise them from the grave of sin. What would you call that? That's grace, isn't it? That's the grace of God to do that for poor sinners. You might ask me, what is meant by a heart of flesh? He says there, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. What does he mean by that? What is he doing when he says that he's going to give us a heart of flesh? Well, beloved, my understanding of Scripture is this, that when God gives us a new heart, and gives us right affections toward God and toward sin and toward holiness, he now gives us a heart that can feel.
Amen.
A heart that can feel the errors of God being shot into the soul that convicts us of sin. I could never understand what sin was until God gave me a new heart. No man ever sought God unless God gave him something to seek him with. He gives him a new heart. And he puts within him a new nature. That's grace. This heart of flesh means a heart that can feel. A heart that can feel on account of sin. A heart that can bleed when the arrows of God stick fast in it. A heart that can heal when the gospel makes its attacks. And it says here, Lord, here am I. A heart of flesh is a heart that can be impressed when the seal of God's Word comes upon it. It's not like a rubber ball and you press it and you dent it in, and then when you let the pressure go, it goes back out again. The new heart of flesh that he gives is a heart on which the Word of God makes an impression.
Amen.
And it's sealed there for eternity. And that seal is never taken away. When you say that was grace, that God doesn't take it away, He gives us that heart that when the impression is made, it stays. You don't know how many times I've got to cry to God now, I'm getting old, to recall, bring things back to me. I was sitting there this morning, that song I told you I woke up with on my heart this morning, Praise Ye the Triune God. When I went to sit down to write the numbers out to give it to the accompanist this morning, I couldn't think of that for love nor money. And I just said, Lord, you're going to have to bring it to my memory if we're going to sing it this morning. And he did. And I thank him for it. But you see, when he makes the impress of the gospel upon our hearts, we'll never get away from it. It's impressed there for time and for eternity. Let me tell you something else. This heart of flesh is a heart that is worn. I'm telling you, it's a heart that's worn. Because it goes out after God. It glows. It has life in it. It cries out after God. It is a heart that can think now about its lost state, about its sinful state, about where it's going. And a heart that now, by the grace of God, that can love and desires to love the Lord and to go out after Him. And why is this? Because our affections are changed.
That which we once hated, now we love. And that which we once loved, now we hate. It's God at work in the soul. God gives us new heart. But you say, wherein does this heart of flesh consist? I think this heart of flesh consists in one word. Will you follow me? That one word is tenderness. When God gives us a new heart, our conscience for the first time becomes tender. The conscience is opened by the Spirit of God. And our conscience is now tender. So much so that now we look at sin and we are afraid of sin. When we were lost in our stony hearts, we were filled with that stony heart. We were not afraid of sin. We did not fear sin. But now we fear it. Now we hate it. We have a tender heart. It is said of John Knox that word was sent to him that Queen Bloody Mary of Scotland was coming with 10,000 to kill him. And he sent word back to the Queen and says, I fear nothing. John Knox fears nothing but sin. I don't fear the bloody Queen Mary of Scotland. I fear sin. The conscience is tender now. The heart is tender. I fear sin. I don't want it. This is the new heart. It's a heart that consists of such tenderness that it cries to the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do? Was not that the first words that the apostle Paul spoke as Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus when God struck him down and spoke to him from heaven and gave him a new heart? What was the first words he spoke? He said, Lord, who art thou? Then he said, I am Jesus of whom you have persecuted. And he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm yours now. And you know, the man that has a new heart, this heart of flesh is very tender. It's tender toward suffering. It's tender toward sin. It's tendered toward others. It's a soft heart, a sensitive heart, a heart on which impressions can now be made. And the Word of God can prick it. Do you have such a heart? Has God in grace given you such a heart? All I can say is that that's grace. This heart that God gives is an obedient heart. I think this is one of the characteristic marks, in fact I know it is, one of the characteristic marks of the children of God, obedience. For was it not said of our Lord in Hebrews 5, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that do what? That obey Him. Obedience is the mark of this new heart. A tender heart. Willing to be guided by God. Willing to be taught of the Lord. Willing to be molded by the divine will. Governed by the Lord. Willing to cry like Samuel in his youth. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. He's listening for what you've got to say. I want to know Him. I want to follow Him. Then it's obedient. It's obedient. It's teachable.
There's another thing about this work of grace in the heart, in that it is wrought in us by the Spirit of God. Well, look what he said. He's still at Ezekiel 36 with me. Look what he says. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Watch verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you. The Holy Spirit comes to take up his abode. The eternal Spirit comes to take up his abode in the heart. And as we saw in our study a few Sunday nights ago in Colossians 2:9, that we are complete in him, and that in Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And God comes to take up his abode in our hearts, and the Spirit of the living God is within us, and our body becomes the temple of the living God. Beloved, if that's not grace, I don't know what grace is. Condescension of the living God to take up his abode in our hearts and lives, and to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. This is the grace of God to start this in our souls. Isn't it? God would come to live within.
Amen.
God would come and take up his abode in the hearts of sinners. And not that he did this for somebody else. And I've read many a biography in my life. I've read many an autobiography in my life. I've read many a conversion of others in my life. And I rejoice in what God did for them. But the marvel of his all is that he did it for me.
Amen.
And he come to take up his abode in my heart. To give me a new heart. This is the grace of God. And beloved, it really doesn't matter about anything else, then, does it? Really, does it? If God has given me a new heart, then what difference does it make about suffering? About what the world may think about me? What others may say about me, what I have to let go or deny self, all of that doesn't even enter into the picture at all when we come to know that God has taken up his abode in my heart and in my life. And what is the one thing needful? The one thing needful is that we have a new heart, isn't it? Be regenerated by the power of God. And now, since the blessed Holy Spirit dwells within us, there is something that we never had before. Look at verse 27 of Ezekiel 36. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I've been asked by many a person in my life, will I be able to hold out? Well, God says, I will cause you to walk. I will work in you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes, that is, in my word, in my commandments, in my precepts, in my promises, and you will keep my judgments and do them. In other words, I can depend upon the Lord that he is going to see me home at last. I don't care what comes or what goes. I don't care what battles may come, what sin may come, what suffering may come. He causes us by his Spirit to be active.
Amen.
We're walkers. And that's the whole book of Ephesians. He tells us to walk worthy of the calling where we've been called in Christ Jesus. And the word walking in Scripture, in that respect, means our manner of life, our behavior.
So our manner of life and our behavior is such that God causes us to walk after Him. It is not a passive thing. And God by force causes us to do this. It is something that we desire, and we are walking by His Spirit and in the way that He would desire us to go. And what does He lead us into? Well, this is the will of God, even Christ Jesus, concerning you, that you would walk in holiness. You know, people hate that. They want salvation, but they don't want to be made holy. People fight us on this all the time. And I wear the epithet very well that he's a holiness preacher. I wear it very well. Thank you. It is. God gives us holiness. When he saves us, he causes us to walk in a way because he says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And then he says in 1 Peter, he says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Watch it. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or behavior, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
So this new heart then causes us to have holy habits and to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, beloved, we've got to watch mere excitement. Mere excitement doesn't do the trick. Being touched with stories and anecdotes. Being touched when we are near death and our emotions are stirred up. If they'll drive us to Christ, fine. We can't live on emotions. We must walk in the way of habitual holiness and not just on emotions. They produce a momentary zeal and they produce a transient morality. But it's when God gives us a new heart and He gives us something that is permanent and causes us to walk habitually in the fruit of the Spirit. Indeed, the fruit of the Spirit is being worked in us. I will cause you to walk in my ways. It's a way that's begun in holiness, and it's a way that ends in holiness. It's the ways of the Lord. Again, I would say, all of this is grace, wouldn't you? And God would do this. How am I going to hold out? Well, God's going to cause us to walk. He's going to put within us that heart and desire after Him. We might be obedient to Him. And then, verse 31 of Ezekiel 36, what is the result? Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your own iniquities and for your abominations. We will loathe ourselves. We will hate sin. We will cry out against sin. We will tell Him about ourselves. We will talk to God about ourselves. We will tell Him what's there, and we desire to be cleansed from it. It was this very portion that God gave me under conviction. He said, I'll give you a new heart. And I tied that in with Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I coupled these two promises together. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you. And I kept pleading. I said, Lord, You said you'd give me a new heart. And you can't lie. That's pleading ground. Did you know that? Or the one in Psalm 35:3. Say to my soul, thou art my salvation. I didn't want him for somebody else. I wanted him for myself. I wanted a new heart. And then after he saved me, I desired that others would know him. But I wanted him. I wanted to know him. And I wanted to know that he was mine and I was his. I wanted to be able to say with the bride in the Song of Solomon, my beloved is mine and I'm his. And there was a day we cried like Job. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. There was a day we cried like the beloved in the Song of Solomon, have you seen him whom my soul loveth? I wanted Christ. And I want him still this morning. I can't live without him. I must have him. He's my all in all. One other thing I see in this text this morning. That it holds out hope and encouragement to the vilest of sinners. Because it doesn't say one thing that we have to produce. He said, I will take you from among the heathen. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, my word, that you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. You see, this is of the Lord. This is great hope. This is great encouragement to the vilest of sinners. And oh, I wonder if there is one seeking soul here this morning. I wonder if there are two seeking souls. I wonder if there are any seeking souls. I tell you, don't give up in despair. But cry out after the Lord. He that begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And if there are any here this morning to whom God has given a new heart, that are to encourage you more than anything else in the world, look what God has done for me, to give me a heart to seek Him with and to cry after Him with. This is grace. Remember what I said when we first started? Never a man would cry if he didn't have it. You say that's a paradox, isn't it? It's just as paradoxical as can be. But the man who really cries after the Lord and whose heart God has put, that cry is a man in whose bosom rest that hope and that heart that God gives to those that cry after Him. Why do I cry after Him today? It's because what He's done for me. Why will I keep crying after Him? It is because of what He has done. And I praise Him for it. It's all based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all based upon His blood, upon His righteousness. It's based upon His work. And the Holy Spirit operates in the heart because of His work. Will you remember our text? God said, I will give you a new heart. And I say, that's grace. I wished I knew how to exhort you. I've laid the word out before you this morning the best we knew how. I've laid the word out before you this morning to explain what God does. And beloved, I don't care what the religious world says about me. All I know is this one thing. Once I was lost, now I'm found. Once I was blind, and now I see. Once I had a stony heart, and God gave me a new heart. Say that Holy Spirit conviction has gone out of style if you want. Say there's no need of it today. All we've got to do is to get people to make little professions, and all is well. Go ahead, do what you want to do, say what you want to say, I don't care. All I know is what this word teaches to my heart. That if a work of grace is ever wrought in the soul, it'll be worked there by God, the Spirit, working and opening that heart to see its need before God. And then fulfilling that need by granting unto us that repentance and faith to turn from sin, to turn unto Him, and to trust Him all the days of our life. You believe that? I do, with all my heart. Do you need Him? Well, let's sing about it as they come up, number 382. That was another one. It caught my ear this morning. I need Thee every hour. Let's sing it as we close. Number 382. Beloved, I can tell you I need Him. And I trust that you have that need this morning. Tell Him about it. Number 382. Let's stand.